Nicholas Ludwig von Zinzendorf, the founder of the Moravians and writer of over 2,000 hymns, was converted in an art gallery in Dusseldorf while contemplating a painting of Christ on the cross. This picture had been painted by an artist 300 years before, and its history leading to its completion is very moving. During the early process of creating this painting, when the artist had finished his first sketch of the face of the Redeemer, this artist called in his landlady's little daughter and asked her who she thought it was. The girl looked at it and said, "It is a good man." The painter knew that he had failed. He destroyed the first sketch, and after praying for greater skill, finished a second. Again, he called the little girl in and asked her to tell him whom she thought the face represented. This time the girl said that she thought it looked like a great sufferer. Again, the painter knew that he had failed, and again he destroyed the sketch that he made. After meditation and prayer, he made a third sketch. When it was finished, he called the girl in a third time and asked her who it was. Looking at the painting, the girl exclaimed, "It is the Lord." And then he was happy. That alone makes the coming of Christ meaningful to the world. Not that a good man came, not that a wise teacher came, and not even that a great sufferer came, but that God came. Emmanuel, God with us. So please turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew. We will conduct our study in chapter 1, and we will focus in on verse 23. Our message this evening is titled, God with us. On this Christmas Eve night, we will discuss the true meaning of Christmas. This world has many different reasons that they celebrate Christmas, but we know the true reason for the season. And we're going to explore that here. And we will do this by looking at the word Emmanuel. So this evening, we'll cover two main points, the prophecy and the fulfillment. So before we get into the text, please join me once again in prayer. Heavenly Father, holy is your name. Worthy are you to be praised, for you sent your only begotten Son to our world. Help us to better understand what it truly means that God came into our world, taking on flesh and being fully man and fully God, living an obedient life. Thank you, Father, for loving us so. Thank you for not giving us what we deserve. Thank you for Jesus, for he is the true reason for the season. And it is in Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen. So let's look at our text, church. Matthew 1, verse 23. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So let's take a look at our first point, the prophecy. The first half of verse 23 of our passage says this, Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. So let's start by looking at the context of this verse. Let's start by looking at the background. So we'll have to go back a few verses. So look with me at Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 to 22. And this is what it says. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Now this prophecy was found in Isaiah 7:14, and that was recorded in 735 BC. And that passage says, Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. That is not all that Isaiah had to say about this Emmanuel. Earlier in his book, it records in Isaiah 9, verse 6 through 7, For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Since Isaiah wrote those words, it was understood that this Emmanuel that was coming was going to be a very special person. He would come to save the lost. Or as we just read, as the angel said to Joseph, he will save his people from their sins. And he would bring peace to this earth. And he would bring peace in a way that this world would never understand the kind of peace that he brought. But he would bring it to those who had an ear to listen. And on top of all this, he would truly embody the meaning of God with us, Emmanuel, God with us. And that right there takes us to our next point, the fulfillment of this prophecy. The second half of verse 23 reads as follows, "And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." As Pastor John MacArthur says, "That name was used more as a title or a description than as a proper name. In his incarnation, Jesus was, in the most literal sense, God with us. So, the most amazing event in human history transpired nearly 2,000 years ago in a little town of Bethlehem, fulfilling a nearly 800-year-old prophecy as recorded in Isaiah. But truly, if we go and look into scriptures, the promise of the Messiah goes all the way back until the time of Adam and Eve, as we're talking about in our study in Genesis. From that time, basically the beginning of mankind, there was a promise. Once there was the sin and the fall of man happened, God gave the promise that the Messiah would come and that he would save. So we know this. God took on flesh and came into our world. As Luke 2 verse 6 through 7 says, "And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn." So we see here that even his birth was in the most humblest of settings, which is crazy because this is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords entering our world. But he was born in the most humble of settings. Not what we would expect a king to look like. Not what we would expect from God to come down to heaven, what we would expect it to look like. And this world, we didn't treat him like a king. We despised him. We ignored him. His own family thought he was crazy. His own people completely rejected him. And the world just, they executed him in the most savage of ways. God came to be with us. Came in a humble manner, and we crucified him. But despite knowing all this would transpire, every little detail of it was known. Love ruled. And Jesus voluntarily came into our world knowing all this would happen, lived a perfect life in this world. All of us are sinners. We can't imagine what it's like to go a day without sinning. And he lived a perfect life, never once sinning. And he freely gave his life as a sacrifice for us wretched sinners. As John 1:14 plainly and boldly records, "And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." This is the shocking message, church. God, who does not need anything, God, who is the creator of all things visible and invisible, God, who is above things in such a manner that he is in his own class, God, for our sake, humbly took on a meat suit, became dirt like us. We're created from dirt, right? We go back to dirt when we die. And he endured all the pains and challenges of his creation. That would be like building a Lego playset and then voluntarily turning yourself into a little Lego piece. And then you would have all the limitations of what a Lego piece would be, a lifeless piece of plastic. And then you would go into this Lego set that you built yourself and endure insults from other Lego pieces. You created them, but they're insulting you. You came to save them, but they're insulting you. They're persecuting you. They execute you eventually. Why downgrade yourself and endure such suffering? Why go from a living, breathing human being and turn yourself into a little plastic piece? Especially when you know fully well that you will be rejected for all the claims that you make, which are true, but you will be rejected by your own creation. Why do all that? That's what Jesus did. He created us, came into our world, lived perfectly, and was despised for speaking the truth. This is what Jesus did. He put on human clay when he, in fact, is deity. He is God. He is royalty. And he became like us and suffered everything that we suffer. The only driving force to experience all of this persecution, which could easily have been avoided, was to be motivated by something powerful: love. And we know from the scriptures that God is love. He is a definition of love. As 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake," notice it here, "yet for your sake," yet for our sake, "he became poor so that you by his poverty might become rich." For our sake, he became poor. Although he's the one who's rich, Jesus became poor for our sake. He did it because of us, because we failed. He became a curse, it says in scripture. He became a curse for us, took on all sin. Imagine the worst, horrid, terrible sins. He experienced it all. And for a person who was completely sinless, experiencing all the trauma that he went through, that's what he did. That's what he endured. And scripture uses the language that it says that Jesus was crushed by the Father, crushed by the full weight of the wrath of God fell upon him. It crushed him. And all this he endured. This didn't come as a surprise. He knew it. That's why at the garden he was sweating blood out of the stress and the anxiety, realizing what he had to do, because the physical pain that he went through did not even compare to the spiritual anguish of that felt. He did all this for us so we could take on his righteousness. So we could take his royal robe and put it on us in exchange for our filthy rags. So I want you to imagine the most filthy of rags. That's what we're wearing. And he took it off us and put his royal robe on us. So that way when the Father looks down at us, he sees his Son instead of looking and seeing us. All this he endured so that we could be adopted into his family. Yes, we're his enemies, but he adopted us into his family so that we'd be, scripture says, co-heirs of Christ. Truly amazing grace. Jesus truly went to great length to be with us, God with us. As the Reformation Study Bible says, in the Old Testament, God's promise to be with his people was the answer to their fears. His glory dwells in Israel's midst in the tabernacle. Jesus, the ultimate and complete fulfillment of the Emmanuel promise, will commission his apostles and encourage his church with the promise found in Matthew 28:19-20. And that says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to do observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I will be with you always to the end of the age." So even when he's given the Great Commission, Jesus is saying, "I will be with you. I will continue to be with you." Beloved, not only did Jesus come into our broken world, Not only did Jesus live a completely obedient life while living in this world, and not only did Jesus die in a perfect sacrificial death in our world, and not only did Christ rise from the dead 3 days later and ascend into heaven, but he promises that he will return. He will return to this world. And even while we wait for his return, we still experience him with us. For he promises to be with us always until the end of the age. Truly, Jesus is and will forever be, for all those who are his, God with us. So as this message comes to a close, I'd like to share this that I came across in my study. It is a Christmas poem that I found to be quite insightful. 'Twas the night before the birth, when all the world did not know what was about to happen. Not a creature was stirring, and all men were napping. The rabbis were safe and secure in their knowledge. Old Herod, the king, the Lord, he refused to acknowledge. King Herod was nestled in bed, with dreams of all the people he ruled dancing through his head. Joseph and Mary in Bethlehem were looking for a place to nap, when at the inn did Joseph tap. No room at the inn was there for the Lord to be, and Mary's time was quite near for all to see. The innkeeper said, "There is no room at the inn, but the stables, I'm sure, there is room for the Savior of men." So Mary and Joseph to the stables they went, and only the animals were there to witness that blessed event. For on that night so long ago, to man was born God's only begotten Son. By him and him alone would the victory over sin be won. The angels on high did sing, as in all of heaven did the praise and joy ring. When to the wandering shepherds did appear on high, angels declaring the Lord's birth was nigh. Fear not, they did call out, the Savior has been born, they did shout. No longer does man with sin need to strive, for God's gift has now arrived. The shepherds to Bethlehem they did go, to see the Savior laid in a manger so low. To all they cried with a shout, the Savior has been born, man has no reason to doubt. Those they told were amazed at what they had heard, but they soon forgot all the shepherds' words. On the eighth day to the temple Joseph and Mary went, and to the temple was Simeon sent. He said, "Let your servant depart in peace, for I have seen your Savior. No longer should the faith of men waver." Now the story for generations has been told, to belief and faith must one hold. For this gift is still there to receive for all who will believe. From lowly manger to heaven on high, our Lord is drawing nigh. Are you willing to believe and no longer be deceived? Now, if you trust in the truth of the Christmas story as recorded in Scripture, and if you trust in all the events that's recorded, and truly put your faith in the Lord, both with your mind and in your heart, truly believe in him, that God came to be with us, the God-man Jesus. If you truly believe, again, in your heart and your mind, then God will be with you for all eternity. So take this to heart, if you haven't already done so, or just to be encouraged for those who have already done it and need a reminder of the promise that's given in Scripture, as it says in Romans 10:9, the most beautiful of promises. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the gospel right there, compacted in one verse. And with that, we say, to God be all the glory. Amen. Please join us for one more song from our praise band.